This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my co-host on his favourite ranty topic. Yes, finally, we've got it. After so many episodes of me telling y'all, no, not yet, save it for the episode where we talk about AI, we finally reached it. Everybody prepare yourselves and strap in. I will try and rein Jon in as best as I can, but we all know he's completely unhinged and completely bonkers when it comes to this topic. It's the 10-year retrospective of AI. Hello, Jon.
So here you were preparing me, making sure I was on my best behavior, me promising to be a good boy.
You did,
and
no
then you
such
started
thing.
Like that. Come on,
you did no such thing. Dear. Well, yeah, we're here to talk about it.
I'm a fan of AI. I'm a fan of everything that's machine learning. I mean, one of the things that attracted me in the whole big data sphere wasn't, surprise, surprise, SQL commands to Hive, which was bread and butter.
Are you not excited by SQL? Does SQL not fill you full of joy?
I have a couple of acronyms that fit the SQL that I am excited about, but I'm not going to talk about here. But the structured query language part of it is more of it pays the bills, but that's about it. I don't really want to go deeper than that. The interesting stuff, the fun stuff, is definitely more in the machine learning or AI. And so, I mean, one of the things I've had big discussions around is ML part of AI or is AI part of ML? Depending on who you talk to or which points they're trying to make, this already muddies the waters. But we're going to be a good boy. So I'm just going to call it ML as long as we can understand it if we really pay effort. AI, when it is no longer something a human can possibly keep in their head because it's too big, too complicated, too convoluted. But it's never I. It's not I, me, Jon, but I and intelligent. There is no artificial intelligence yet, and there won't be for a long time to go, regardless what Tesla says with their auto drive, which doesn't exist anymore, by the way. They've taken it out of the small print, because basically AI isn't there yet. It's just good faking it. And faking it we've been doing since the 70s with ML. And that has done wondrous things. I mean, a lot of medicine cures, a lot of advances in science have been made thanks to the automated computing approach that is machine learning.
Yep. I'm with you on this, and it does frustrate me that we are referring to the current generation as AI. In my mind, yes, okay, if it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. But in this case, it's really not. Like, it is not artificially intelligent, even if it behaves and seems like it is, and even sounds or looks like it is, if you're looking at audio and video variants thereof. Just because something is behaving like it is intelligent does not mean that it is intelligent. But this is the world we live in, and the marketing tells us it's AI.
Okay, I want to make a note here that you started talking about marketing.
I'm just here to give you the prompt, and then you are here to respond.
Hey, that's just a good thing, because take away all the marketing, all of this neural networks, AI, it's all just statistics. It's advanced statistics, advanced to the point that we don't understand it anymore as human beings, but it is just math, it's just statistics, and no math formula will ever create intelligence. I hope.
not pi r squared, will that not do it?
The what? The
pi r squared won't do it, no?
No, that's matter and speed of light and... which I knew time dilation, but I didn't know dimension shrinkage as well. So when you approach the speed of light, time slows down, but distance actually gets longer. A meter becomes longer than a meter. Of course, when you're in there, it's just still a meter, but that was fun. Studying physics, people, is fun. I can always recommend people to take a physics course. There's a lot of interesting things there when you go to general relativity and even the non-general one. Anyway, back to the
back to the topic.
I'm doing
of hand.
My best not to go into the ranty mode here. But I mean, you have to admit, 10 years ago, ML was in a good place, I think. Things, computers started running at higher speeds. They were able to start forming clusters, big memories. I mean, the uniform memory architectures were all the rave. That's where I made my money in those days. It was a big, we talked about this in the big data episode. It was a big initiator of the whole big data craze, because one of the use cases where you need a lot of data, hence a lot of memory, hence a lot of disk space, hence a lot of everything, was machine learning, because again, it was a point where you didn't have an Excel sheet where a human can still do the calculations. No, you had something so big it didn't fit in Excel anymore, which, by the way, isn't that big, to be honest. You're very quickly moving past the Excel barrier when you're talking about machine data, things like human genome or chemical reactions, things like that. Think about the nuclear reactions in a certain environment. You kind of need more than an Excel sheet for that, and ML was finally able to do that. And I think a lot of open source that was built around that, it all was in this idea of the sky's the limit. Yeah, if you throw enough computing together and put some intelligent software on there, I use the word intelligent again, we can do amazing things. And that was actually a very nice time to be alive. And if you were only a little bit smarter than the rest, in the land of blinds, the person with one eye is the king, you're able to have a very, I'm not going to say easy, but fulfilling day job.
Yeah, I think the other thing that was very prevalent a decade ago is that people were building machine learning or machine learning based solutions around, like, to answer specific questions. So whether that was image recognition or speech recognition or, you know, certain, like, they collected a very wide, very varied, but it was a set of data all around answering a particular problem that they wanted to figure out. And then once they'd, you know, trained that particular solution, it was used to answer those particular questions. And this was also a time, however, when, you know, people got into trouble with using these things in some cases. And in often we'll talk about the fact that when you get into things like neural networks, they are non-deterministic. And in many cases, you can't, you won't necessarily get the same answer each time. And second thing is that you can't always get an explanation for why something has ended at a particular result or answer or conclusion or whatever. And
that's by definition neural networks. You are not, if you're able to figure out why a neural network did what it did, it's not a neural network.
Yeah. So, you know, you had them used in areas like insurance or healthcare and law enforcement and other areas like that. And although they were very useful tools, and this was a little bit of the Wild West back then, back in the 2015s and early sort of mid 2010-ish era, very quickly legislation sort of swooped in and said, you need to be more careful what you're using these things for. And we have covered many of those snafus over the years on this podcast. And I also would say these things are still happening today.
Yeah, it's one of those fields that goes so fast that legislation will always be playing catch up. And also, it's getting a little bit better now, but people in power typically don't understand what it's all about. I mean, you can have fun when you watch our duly elected representatives talk about things like neural networks, but it's so clear they don't know what they're talking about. Now, obviously, these people are being assisted by experts, which probably do know what they're talking about, but are usually paid by someone with a certain vision. And yeah, but that's politics, right? Legislation is made by people. People are imperfect. Legislation will be imperfect too. And considering how much money is being made in AI today and in the past, it's such a dangerous territory to even try to put something together. You look at the EU AI Act, which was it went inactive a couple of months ago now. You talked about it on the podcast before. There's not that much in there. I mean, it's better than what we had, which was nothing. So at least there's something now which we can build upon. But a lot of the more far-reaching things in protection have been taken out by the whole lobbyist stuff, which might not be a bad thing. I mean, too much restriction is bad as well, because then you stifle all the innovation. There's a thing to be said about that too. It's hard to keep up with as fast as it's going.
So before the mid-2010s, I would say, and it's maybe not entirely true, but I would say by and large, machine learning was still more in the hands of research and academia. Yes. and that sort of area.
People who knew what they were doing.
Maybe. Mostly. But, you know, the mid-2010s onwards, again, you know, the rise of big data and the sort of, as you said earlier, like the rise in kind of speed of compute, speed of storage, increase in sort of you know, memory availability, the cost of all of these things also dropping, and the ability to just spin up huge clusters to do all of these things suddenly became not just in the realms of, you know, big-brained academia, but also enterprises were able to begin and, you know, adopt more of these technologies and start exploring all of this. I would also say this sort of aligned very much with the rise of data science and data scientists as well. It sort of very much in my mind went hand in hand with this sort of this evolution in the early mid 2010s, if that makes sense. It sort of, you had this sort of period of innovation, and then in my mind at least, things by and large seem to stall for a while. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that.
Well, it got incorporated. Things went fast as long as people were working on problems to solve. But once it got incorporated, corporations were trying to find problems that fit solutions they built. And that does not engender creativity. It makes people do the inverse of creativity. It's, you're no longer trying to fix something new or find something new. You're trying to find ways of monetizing what you already have by shoehorning your solution into something where you can spin a story that people might somehow believe. That will typically not attract creative people. Typically, creative people at that point go away. And when you were talking, it kind of struck me that the whole data engineer, data scientist role, 5-7 years ago, I almost exclusively talked to those people. Now, I hardly ever meet them again, because now they're all prompt engineers or AI, whatever's. But people that had a mathematics, computer science background and that were able to call themselves data scientists, either they are now in the ivory towers doing in backend stuff and not allowed to come out anymore, possible, or they went back to academia perhaps, because again, it's fun to earn a lot of money, but if you're really a computer aficionado that really wants to go deep on that stuff, you will not be happy in a purely commercial, let's find the problem to suit this solution methodology. And maybe that's the reason that things calm down a bit. And of course, obviously, the whole conglomeration into the 3 or 4 big companies that now kind of rule everything that's AI. talked about this in a previous episode, the end of the hero culture. Was that the next episode? I don't remember. No, that was the cloud episode. It was the next episode. Previous episode. So talked about that hero culture going away because the big companies gobble everything up. That, again, we talked about this earlier. Competition breeds innovation, breeds new things. And having less things in the world, less organizations looking at something, is not a good way to make things evolve faster or create new things. And OpenAI it's fantastic what they built. ChatGPT was a milestone. It's something that's book's gonna be written about it by ChatGPT probably. But it was different. If you looked at the big data, when Hortonworks and Cloudera and MapR were the three that remained, and then it kind of went away. But before that, every little project, Storm, Spark, Hive, Ranger, there were so much things going on. And now with AI, that is not being allowed. The moment a little startup has something coolish, it gets gobbled up. It's gone.
Yeah. Do you think that that's just a factor of where we are now, though, like the particular point of innovation that we're at?
I don't think it's related to the innovation. For me, it's related to the macroeconomical situation that the world is in. We now have companies that are worth more than certain countries. That is something that is new. We now have, for all practical purposes, infinite money held by corporations. They can buy anything and everything all day long. And that gives them a power. And the people are people. We are not great. We're not the most fantastic altruistic creatures on the world. I mean, that's not how biology works, basically. But they will make sure to do what they can do to keep their own relevance. And typically, innovation is a risk. You try something new. If it works, great. If it didn't work, well, let's try again. But you kind of lost out on that round. Not being innovative is bad in the long run, very good in the short run. And with companies with infinite money, they will go for the status quo. Unless, again, OpenAI, when they went with ChatGPT, they broke the mold. But then they conformed to the mold. Because the first thing they started doing, and it took a long while, and they're not there yet still, they're still a non-profit company, but they've been trying to get out of that from day one, basically. So yeah, it's just how the world works today. And we talked before already that Mitty Open talks about how companies interact with us and things like that, that there will be a reaction at some point. At some point, this will change again. But if we will live to see that, I don't know. And it's not because I think it's going to be World War III happening. I don't believe it's going to happen ever. Well, ever. Not in my lifetime. Okay, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Anyway, that wasn't the question you asked, but it's the answer you got.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, maybe to we've all sort of jumped around this a little bit, but in my mind at least, you know, the sort of 2015 through to 2018, 2019, I know technically GPT-1 came out 2018, but it was still very niche. No one really knew anything or did anything about it.
Gen AI things happened in 2018, 2019-ish, yeah.
Yeah, but it was still very... it was still very, very niche. But I think it was 2020 where things like fundamentally shifted or changed. And we saw things go, far more mainstream. And I remember the moment for me was where I was sat next to Torkel, the creator of Grafana, and he'd just done a dry run of a keynote that he was going to give at an event, and he sat down, and there was an image that he'd had on one of his slides, and I just thought that was so cool. And it was a Grafana branded dinosaur, driving a car, and had the sort of like a funny car, and had like flames shooting out the back of it. And I was just like, where on earth did you find that picture? And he said, oh, I just used this thing called Midjourney. And he sort of showed me, all the prompts that he'd created and saved. And that was the first moment for me, very, very early 2020, when the world very much kind of shifted. And, things certainly haven't slowed down or stopped since. Everything has continued to accelerate from there. But the last 5 years have just seen, relentless progress and innovation in this space. And it almost, we've sort of joked over the last sort of 5 years, pretty much, any conference talk that you see, or any meeting you go to, or any new piece of hardware that's released, a phone, a laptop, or whatever, like everything has some sort of AI bolted onto it, strapped onto it, stuck to it, shoehorned inside of it in some way, shape, or form. It has become absolutely everywhere. And
I'm still totally surprised that nobody has launched the blockchain AI or the AI blockchain. I haven't seen that one yet. And I've been looking.
Blockchain's old hat now. No one cares about blockchain anymore. True. Everyone's all about AI. Sorry. But the thing that was, I can't remember where I was going with my thoughts now, fully derailed by the blockchain.
Yeah, that's what it does. Blockchain is something that just takes and takes and gives nothing back.
Where was I going? So I remember now. So we have actually, I think, touched on this topic before when we were talking about various different revolutions that technology world has been through. I think we may have even touched on it when we chat in the future with someone. Anyway.
Ooh, fourth wall break.
Indeed, fourth wall break. The only revolution, that technology revolution at least, that comes kind of close to this in my memory, in my lifetime, is the mobile revolution. And what I mean by that is, there have been many other technology revolutions that, and we've talked about many of them over the 10 years of this podcast, whether it's cloud or virtualization or containerization or yada, yada, yada. But the mobile revolution was something that touched nearly every human being on the planet in some way, shape, or form. And we are in a similar sort of state now. If you think about cloud revolution or the virtualization revolution, 95-99 probably percent of the population really never even knew that thing happened. They might have seen mentions of cloud in airports as they were going through them on holiday, but they wouldn't have known or cared what that really meant.
And they probably used stuff running on, but
oh yeah,
who cares?
Exactly. Like their lives didn't fundamentally change in any meaningful way. But one of the things that this particular revolution has done, and I'm talking about I'm going to call it the AI revolution because that's what everyone else is calling it, and I want to make sure that I am understood well, is that this technology is not only available to everybody, but is being provided in such a way that you do not need to be any form of expert to be able to use it. There are AI buttons on your laptop, on your phone, in your web browser, probably coming soon, if not already available on your toilet. You know, the AI is literally being...
Yes, it exists on the toilets. I saw that yesterday. This is an AI camera that films whatever goes down the chute to inform you if you have any diseases.
Lovely, lovely.
No privacy issues there at all.
Yeah, it's... This is one of those things that I think has taken a drastic shift, and I think there is a part of that which is why the innovation has accelerated far faster than almost any other area of time. It's the broad applicability, and therefore, undoubtedly, the also very broad large dollar signs appearing in people's eyes, and the thoughts that they can make lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money out of this. And we are seeing this from the AI boom / AI bubble, depending on your perspective or point of view, with company valuations and all those sorts of things. This is something that is, it's not quite unprecedented. I would say that the mobile revolution had a similar impact to the global world consciousness. But I do think that the AI revolution is doing a similar thing right now, and is fundamentally changing how people think about their technology. They are now thinking that it is far smarter, and in some cases far more usable than it ever was before, and far more useful than it ever was before in some cases.
I think there's a big difference between the mobile and the AI. I mean, the mobile is a new delivery mechanism, if you like, and a lot of things migrated towards that new way of interacting with people, and it solved a problem. It made you available, interactable at any time, any place, anywhere. AI is doing the opposite. It's trying to shoehorn itself in every nook and cranny it can find, while not necessarily adding anything except, no, it's AI, so I can charge $5 more. I mean, the most ludicrous one is AMD now having AI in their CPU naming scheme. Makes no sense. And that's NPU, blah, blah, whatever.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
No. I do, however, do think we have our little reality distortion bubble going on as well. Because on the one hand, yes, everybody is playing with this stuff. But if that is the case, if everybody is making funny pictures with Sora and Midjourney and all the other ones, everybody should be much more skeptical when they see dog saving baby from fire in apartment.
They're not, though. They're not, though.
Which for me kind of means that not everybody is doing this. The biggest, largest part of the population, older people perhaps, but also people that aren't just in... Not. I have more computers in this house than people. Now I live alone, so that's not hard. But even when I was living alone, that was also the case. This is not normal. Most people have a laptop for their work perhaps, but that's about it. So I do think there's a disjunction there. But yes, I think the mobile has affected everybody. I mean, you can go to the most remote part of Australia or Africa or the Himalayas and you'll find a mobile phone signal. I think AI is not that pervasive in the population yet, although it is trying very hard to be everywhere. But it's everywhere in the shoehorn fashion and not in the I'm in control and doing something with this tool.
I mean, I don't know about that because latest surveys, say that, let's have a look here, 73% of adults in India have used generative AI technologies. 40% of adults in the US.
Yes, but that does include I'm on Facebook, and Facebook automatically does that. It does not mean that
I can't speak to the individual
exactly,
surveys, but
Again, yeah. If that was the case, then all of the slop that's out there now wouldn't be fooling people as much.
No,
that would be.
No, because it's no. It. I don't it think that's the case. I mean, my partner, for example, is fully enamored with AI slop that's generated, which involves cats baking and delivering cakes to people. Like, it makes
no sense to me. It's
one
thing to be entertained by stuff like that. I'm assuming she doesn't believe cats are actually doing that.
No, but that doesn't mean but she still, you know, she has generated images, she has generated funny videos, like it, and she is not, she is very much outside of my reality distortion bubble.
But now, if let's say she goes on Twitter or Facebook or social media, whatever, doesn't matter, and there's a video there of your prime minister, which is called Starmer, something like that,
sure,
saying something ludicrous.
I mean, that's entirely possible for politicians.
That's why I'm taking this example. That politicians are a very hard one because they are, by definition, mostly ludicrous. But when I see, let's use Trump. Trump is a good one to use at the moment, doing something crazy. My first reaction is, Trump is doing something crazy again. My second reaction is it real? Your partner will have, I think, the same two reactions.
Sure, but I don't
but
see.
But not everybody does. Most people don't.
But that I don't see that as being connected to generative AI. Like that's
a lot of fake videos generated by Gen AI.
Sure, but you know, people have read stuff on the internet and believed it to be true ever since the internet has been created.
Ever since newspapers have been created, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone
but
telling
people
a story.
Didn't write newspapers themselves. But and now in a situation where everybody can create these fake videos online, and apparently everybody's doing it. And still, when they see something that's too good or bad to believe, the majority of people just go with it anyway. Where's our self-criticism at that point?
That's human beings. I don't think that's anything to do with generative AI, unfortunately. Human beings and misinformation since the beginning of the dawn of time, since humans were able to communicate with each other.
So Terminator was right. We're doomed. Okay, fair enough.
Dear.
So how do we get out of this thing? I mean, we're kind of getting to the second part here. Is this going to get better at some point? I mean, we do, of course, have some anti-Gen AI things going on. You have image poisoning and things like that. We have now lawsuits for authors that are complaining against the unbridled suckage of information from internet sites. Will we get to a point that it stabilizes, you think? Because if you look at mobile phones, which is actually not a bad corollary, something to do with this, we are now decades into mobile ownership being normal, and now we start having governments restricting screen time for minors and things like that. We have some legislation happening to make, well, we had some legislation happening to make social media become responsible, and that's being turned back again in big part of the world anyway. So are we really doomed? I'm still trying to find a way forward, because open source and community isn't doing it. They're trying. There's some initiatives there. We've talked about them in the past. But they just can't compete with these trillion-dollar companies with, again, infinite money. People, you say, aren't to be trusted either. So how do we get to a point where this becomes an actual good thing? Because big data, for all its flaws and warts, was a good thing. Good thing happens because of big data. Good thing happens because of machine learning, cancer research, things like that wouldn't be at the point it is today without these things. ChatGPT has not done anything good for the world.
I mean,
on that level.
That is your perspective. That is your opinion, and you are fully entitled to it.
So you don't share it.
I don't share it. I think.
Okay.
I think used as a tool, I think it's, you know, we had this conversation before we started recording. I think used as a tool, I think it's incredibly valuable and incredibly useful.
But do people use it as a tool? That's my problem.
I think so, yes. Now, whether that is people in general or just individuals within our reality distortion bubble, that's a different question entirely. But, you know, I know I'm not going to convince you of that, so I'm not even going to try.
My experience, people see it as an easy button. I don't have to think anymore.
Yeah, that is definitely happening, for sure. But
there's a lot more of that.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, it's great technology. I love what's possible with all of this generative AI and what's happening around. It's amazing. It's just what we're doing with it is so demoralizing.
I mean, I think the answer to this is the same as the answer to, how do you stop people clicking on links in spam emails and getting phished and, you know, all those sorts of things. Like, all you can do is attempt to, like, continue education of folks in some way, shape or form. And frankly, hope for the best. And it's not a great answer. I fully accept that. In fact, it's very likely a terrible answer. But I really don't know that there is a better answer right now. The organizations driving this seemingly at the moment have no interest in doing that.
Opposite even.
So yeah, I don't know.
So in the future, will we get a bigger rift between the people in the know and the people not in the know? I mean, there's always been this difference between poor and rich and things like that, but there's always been a thing, a rift between people that are not smart or intelligent, but
have access to
education, because yeah, education is expensive. If you want to go to university, trust me, it costs a lot of money. So some people just aren't.
Depending on the country you live in, sure.
Still, it's more expensive to go to college than not to go to college. It's never free. And usually, it's quite expensive. This is a way where you could use ChatGPT-ish things to get smarter. I mean, you don't have to Google cat pictures all day long. You could do things to help you educate yourself. So on the one hand, I would hope that tools like this would enable the people without the means to go to formal education to be able to catch up with the rest. It doesn't look like it's happening. It really looks like, and again, the companies that are in charge of this whole thing are making this even worse. They're dumbifying everything down even more. I mean, the latest great revolution in how you can use LLMs is that one of the companies has removed the restriction on erotic and stuff like that. And when the porn industry gets hands on it, I mean, that's it when you're talking about money making, obviously. Again, it feels so much like a missed chance. And I'm trying to figure out a way that humans in general could take that back. And I can't find one. And that's what I find. It's not ranting. It's more, I see the potential. I see what could be possible. And I mean, we're spending so much more money on cat pictures than cancer research at the moment.
He's not angry, everybody.
Makes sense.
He's just disappointed.
Yes. Now go to your room. well. Anything else to say about AI?
I don't think so.
It's here. It's not going to go away.
It's definitely
going to get worse before it gets better.
Like most things in life, yep.
And dear listener, it's up to us to make it better. If we want to make it better, we have to make it better ourselves. Have a little bit of luck. This little episode on AI was a little nudge in the right direction, hopefully, maybe.
Be the change you want to see in the world, as they say.
Ooh, let's not open that can of worms. With that, that's all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast, become a patron. Patrons help us philosophize about this stuff. Philosophizing is good. You can go to our website at www.roaringelf.org, links to the Patreon page, information to the podcast, and you can send us email to podcast@roaringelf.org if you have any thoughts you want to share with us. We'll always be happy to talk about that as well. Until next time, my name is... We're all doomed. Jon.
And my name is Can Opener Dave.
We look forward to Dave cutting his fingers next week. Goodbye.
See you then.